This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Simon Mark's back with us on the line from Washington. It's been, I think, about a month since we've spoken, Simon. How the devil are you?
I am very well, Tim. I have been on the road. I did 5 countries in 16 days, which was very exciting, not least because they were all geographically spread out. I started in Mexico City before the earthquake and then headed to Istanbul, then on to Singapore and Beijing, and I ended up in New Delhi. And it was, I have to say, absolutely fascinating, because once you get out of Washington, D.C., you start realizing the way in which the rest of the world views exactly what's going on here in Washington. You know, there's almost a sense in Washington now that things are sort of slightly normalized, even though we're living still in very, very abnormal times. And it's useful to get out of the city to realize that in some of those locations, people definitely don't think that anything here is normalized.
Well, that's interesting. And it does beg the question, doesn't it? What was your overriding impression from being so geographically spread and being able to look back at Washington?
Well, you know, I mean, in each country there's different concerns, right? I mean, down in Mexico, obviously there are great concerns still about President Trump's approach to border security, this plan to build a wall. I was down there shortly after he appeared to cave on his plan to throw the Dreamers out, you know, those children of illegal immigrants here in the United States. So the Mexicans still very sensitive about all of that. Then you travel to Asia at a time when there is tremendous disquiet throughout the region over Donald Trump's loose lips on the issue of North Korea. I mean, you know, referring to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man, making that utterly extraordinary speech at the United Nations a week ago in which he threatened to destroy North Korea. Not just the North Korean regime, mind you, destroy the entire country. And so, you know, you sit in Beijing or you sit in Singapore and you get a real sense of the enormous regional sensitivities that he is riling up by making a speech like that. But also when you go to Beijing, you get a real sense that, you know, China is absolutely on fire economically, geopolitically. You walk through these gleaming, glitzy shopping malls in Beijing that outpace anything that we've got here on the east coast of the United States. And you see, you know, really big money being spent, at least in the Chinese capital, an economy that's growing by 6% a year, and a Chinese government that is kind of looking back at Washington and Donald Trump and saying, really? You think you're in the driving seat on North Korea? We don't think so. So absolutely fascinating to visit all of these places and see all of that. And I culminated, as I said, in India, where, you know, there's another country that's on the move and a country that is developing its own set of bilateral relations, eager to have a very warm and productive relationship with the United States. But also, you know, the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had just visited India. There's tension in the relationship between Delhi and Beijing, but they've been working things out diplomatically lately. You know, you just get the real sense. It's a multipolar world now. It is no longer a one superpower world. And it's not immediately apparent that Donald Trump gets that.
And Simon, it's interesting. You talk about the worldview of what's going on in Washington. I mean, how seriously are people panicking over in Washington about these threats Donald Trump is making about destroying North Korea?
Well, look, I mean, it's definitely a worry. I mean, I was seeing on Twitter over the weekend that one of the city's leading nuclear analysts, Joe Cirincione, who has been charting the rise of nuclear weapon states here for the last 25 years, was sort of basically saying we have to hope for restraint on the part of the President of the United States, or perhaps hope for restraint on the part of those people around him. Because, you know, here's Donald Trump, who keeps saying that if necessary, he will launch a military strike on North Korea. And yet he leads a government that has a Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who recently has said that the Americans have only very limited options on the Korean Peninsula, and they do not include military action. You saw the pictures of General John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, the man who was supposed to bring order and discipline to the West Wing of Donald Trump's White House. Well, there he was at the United Nations last week with his head in his hands as Donald Trump enunciated those phrases about Rocket Man and being willing to destroy North Korea. So what happens if the President of the United States says, right, it is now time to launch a nuclear strike on North Korea? Do the men and women around him inside that White House attempt to derail that order? Do they refuse to accept that order? Do they say, you can blow up North Korea if you want, but I'm going to have no part of it, I resign and leave? You know, these are all very uncertain questions, and they raise real issues about control. Does the buck, in fact, stop at Donald Trump's desk, or will cooler heads around him prevail? That's why everybody here is, I think, increasingly concerned.
Let's stay with Donald Trump, Simon, and move to another version, a new version of the travel ban.
Yes, they unveiled this last night. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing about it, but they claim that this revised version of the travel ban, which is now closing America's borders to citizens from 8 countries, including Venezuela and North Korea. I'm bound to say that when you arrive at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York, you're not surrounded by hordes of people from North Korea trying to gain access to the United States, because they, of course, can't get out of their own country. But by closing the country's borders to a broader mix of nations, the White House, with a straight face, is trying to suggest that that proves that Donald Trump is not anti-Muslim. This is not a Muslim travel ban, but it's still a travel ban that's focused very, very heavily on countries with predominantly Muslim populations. Remember that his original version of the travel ban and then the watered-down version of the travel ban, they're still tied up in the courts. We're waiting for the Supreme Court to adjudicate on the original travel ban, but now the White House is sort of adding Venezuela and North Korea to the mix. You almost wonder why they didn't add Antarctica to the mix, further to suggest that this wasn't a Muslim travel ban. Everybody here knows that that's exactly what it is. He campaigned, after all, in the election last year on a pledge of closing America's borders to all Muslims. So it's pretty apparent, I think, to everybody watching that this is a fairly cynical move and an attempt to say that it walks like a duck, but it's not actually a duck. And whether that finds any support among the American people, we'll have to wait and see.
And Simon, we don't have time to quite get into the NFL versus Trump story. I mean, I say NFL versus Trump, but this has spread. We've seen Stevie Wonder taking part in the protest as well. People like that over this weekend, Tom Brady. But it's something that it's set to continue, really. If we can, though, just move to some quite sad news, really. Senator John McCain says his prognosis is very poor at this stage.
Yes, I'll just make one comment on the NFL protest. Donald Trump tweeted here within the last couple of hours that it has his position on this has nothing to do with race. I mean, that's a little bit like saying the travel ban has nothing to do with barring Muslims from the country. Everybody here knows that that's a laughable assertion to make. John McCain, senior Republican in the United States Senate, you know that he was diagnosed with brain cancer a few months ago. He said on television here last night that he's been given what he described as a very serious prognosis, but he is intent on celebrating what he says has been a life very well lived, with gratitude and thanks to the nation. And I think there really is a sense here that, you know, John McCain is an old-style Republican up on Capitol Hill, still a thorn in Donald Trump's side. His refusal to back the latest attempt to repeal and reform Obamacare appears to have scuppered that attempt up on Capitol Hill. Hill. So John McCain, who's fought every step of the way through his life, both as a prisoner of war, then as a politician, he's still fighting, even though he says that the outcome of this brain cancer is looking like it's going to be the inevitable outcome, and that's something that obviously makes people in this city very sad indeed.
Simon Marks, Washington-based. Good to have you back on, Simon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
It is 6:30.